Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I thought the other big news this week was the article Mike Silver put out. Now, if you listen to the show, you know, we've had Mike on a few times. He's a friend of the show. I trust anything he says. I don't think Mike Silver just puts things out there. Like, he hears things. He knows things. You know, again, we know Mike. We know, and he's been in
this business
for decades. Yeah, he's as plugged in as they get, especially with the Niners. And he wrote about, you know, there's probably going to be some changes this offseason, unless they win the next four and go on a playoff run, which likely is not going to happen. There's going to be some changes this offseason, and they're getting older, and guys are getting slower, and guys look old, and guys are getting beat up. So there's going to be some names that you see that have been here for a while that are going to be gone. George Kittle, I do not think is one of those people. George Kittle is, you know, the heart and soul of the team, and he's going to be around. But you look at some of these other older players, Debo is a good place to start. So before we went on, our producer Spencer said to us, did you guys see Debo's tweet? And we're like, no, we didn't see it yet. So Debo tweeted, hold on, do you have it up, Ryan? If not, I got to pull it up real quick.
So he said, this was an hour ago. We're recording at 3:58 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So at about 3 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, he tweeted, not struggling at all, just not getting the ball. And then followed that up with, just because I voice my opinions mean I'm hating on any of my teammates. Be for real. So again, you know, the big one is not struggling at all, just not getting the ball. And so I don't know. I disagree with that. How about you?
Well, he certainly hasn't made an impact with the touches that he's gotten. And Debo, last four games. Hold on. Let me pull this up here because I have this right here too. He hasn't gotten as many touches as he did earlier in the season. He's completely right about that. And I'll pull his touches up here in a second. But in the last four games, what he has done, he has 11 catches for 85 yards and 6 carries for 12 yards in the last four games. I know he's had a couple of good kick returns, but anytime he's gotten the ball, it just hasn't, not much positive is happening. He's, you know, he's getting a few yards. He's had some big drops as well. Look at the Green Bay game where the Niners might have kind of been able to get back into it, and the ball goes through his hands, turns out to be an interception. He hasn't looked like himself. So if you look at his targets this season, beginning of the year, starting with the Jets game and just going week one on, he had 9, 10, 5, 3, 5, and he was injured. And then he had 7, 6, 7. Let's say 7, 6, okay? And then in the last four games, for what we're talking about with his slump, he's had 7 targets, 4 targets, 5 targets, and 3. For those 11 catches for 85 yards. He's had six carries in that time for the 12 yards. He had one carry for negative 1 yards against the Seahawks, and he had five carries for 13 yards against the Bears. Again, just did nothing with those carries. And when you look at his season overall, his rushing stats this year, let me find him here. So, sorry, I'm pulling these up. Debo has 32 carries for 92 yards. Is that real?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's terrible. So that's not happening at all anymore.
32 carries for 92 yards and a touchdown.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that bad. So if you look at the rest. So, well, let's look at what he's done rushing since he came into the league. His rookie season, he had 14 carries for 159 yards. It's 11.4 yards per attempt. That's pretty good. Injured the next season, eight carries for 26 yards, 3.3. 2021, his all-pro season, 59 carries for 365 yards. He had eight rushing touchdowns that year, too. 6.2 yards per carry. 2022, yeah. 42 for 232, 5.5. 2023, 37 for 225, 6.1. So he's never really been under 5.5, and, you know, when he's had more than eight carries. This year, 32 carries for 92 yards. That is 2.9 yards per carry. Wow. And he only has two touchdowns this season. So he hasn't been good this year. He's got 40 catches for 553 yards. He has 64 targets overall on the season. I mean, how much are you going to give him the ball if that's the kind of production you're getting? I mean, I understand he's frustrated. We're frustrated. But, I mean, come on.
Actually have touch numbers as well, so that you don't have to go through and figure out between rushing and receiving. So in his career, 2019, he had 71 touches. In 2020, he had 41. In 2021, he had 137. In 2024, he had 72 with four games left to play. So he's on pace to match what his touches have been over the past two seasons. The issue is, in 2019, he averaged 13.5 yards per touch. In 2020, it was 10.2 yards per touch. In 2021, it was 3.0. In 2022, it was 8.8. In 2023, it was 11.5. And in 2024, it is 9. So he's right where he was in his really bad 2022 season when he held out for his contract and then came in out of shape and then just didn't really perform. And that's where I'm like, it isn't that you're not getting the ball. It's just that you're not producing when you do get the ball. And, you know, it's like, I mean, he's become like Cordarrelle Patterson, providing much else to this team and especially to this offense. I don't know. One of the things that I appreciated yesterday was that they weren't trying to force feed Debo the ball. And look what happened. They scored 38 points. So, I don't know. I just don't know what to do, you know, and one of the conversations is, could he be one that's gone? And if you look at Spotrac, if the 49ers were to cut Debo or trade Debo, burn first, they would incur a dead cap in 2025 of $31.5 million, which would cost them $3.2 million. Against the cap, meaning that if they trade or release him prior to June 1st, it will cost them $3.2 million in 2025 cap. If you were to release him with a post 6-1 designation like they did to Eric Armstead this past offseason, or if you waited and traded him post 6-1, that doesn't make any sense. No team is going to be trading for Debo post 6-1, so it would be a release. The 2025 dead cap would be 10.7, and then the 2026 dead cap would be 20.7 million. So you're saving money in 2025, but you're really getting hit hard in 2026. The restructure that they did this season really, really hurt their ability to get out from under Debo Samuel outside of having him play out the rest of this contract, which is just one more season. It's just 2025. There's a void year in 2026. So all things considered, if they don't do anything with Debo Samuel, he has a cap hit of 28.2 million in 2025 if he just stays on the team. But with the way it's structured, in 2026 they're getting a $20.7 million cap hit, even though he's not on the team anymore. So they're getting that $20.7 million hit in 2026, regardless of what happens. So business-wise, the best move is a post-6-1 designation release, because that would give them, I mean, it would give them cap room in 2025. It just, they really hurt themselves with that restructure. It really hurt them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And you're even looking, throwing him the ball, like his catch percentage this year is 62%. So that's
right.
Receptions divided by targets. And by comparison, Juwan Jennings is 73%. George Kittle's is 83%. His success percentage, which is successful reception gains at least 40% of the yards required on first down, 60% on second, and 100% on third or fourth. He's at 39.1%. The only Niners who are lower than him are Ronnie Bell and Chris Conley. And again, by comparison, George Kittle's at 71.6%. Juwan Jennings is at 59%. So he's not, the targets that he's getting, like we've said, why would you give him the ball when these are the results that you're getting? When you haven't been able to score and you've kind of been force feeding him. The offense went through Jennings and Kittle and Garendo, and it was very successful.
And that's by the Bears. 2019 was 53.1, 59.1, 50.4, 47.9, 56.2, and then again this season, 39.1. Even his rushing success percentage, again, by over his career, starting 2019, 54.3, 54.5, 67.6, and 40.6. Really what we're seeing is just a repeat of his 2022 season. Like, legitimately, that is what we're seeing. Like, it's a repeat of literally his worst season.
He's every other year, man. You know what I mean?
but what, like,
good year, bad year, good year, bad year.
I mean,
good year,
you're
bad
right. Because, I mean, he had 1,117 scrimmage yards. And yeah, he had 1,117 yards from scrimmage last year and
12 touchdowns. He had a good season last year.
12 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns. Yeah, I mean, this 12 falling off cliff. Just falling off a cliff.
He's just one of those guys. Again, when you look at the team,
I don't know what the answer is, Al.
Well, he's not 35 years old, but he plays older than being 28. And that's just the pounding that he's taking. You know, he runs the ball a lot. He's just not the same. You could tell it's just, he looks slower. It happens. Guys fall off a cliff sometimes, you know, especially you see with running backs, and Debo has run the ball a lot. He's not your average receiver. He's rushing has been a big part of his game since he came into the league. He has 192 carries in his career. That's a lot for a receiver. So he's got 323 receptions. Yeah. You add the carries onto that, and then you add the playoffs into that. Those long seasons, your body gets beat up. You just get older. Got to move on from guys at some point. And yeah, I think Debo is one of those guys where you see now Jennings can come in and he's going to be a big play guy for you. He's going to be someone who's going to be involved in this offense moving forward. You hope IU can come back hopefully halfway through the season. He's himself. You drafted Pearsall to come in and be a big impact guy. Those are your three likely next year. Still think they're going to have to bring in a vet to help while Ayuk is on the mend. But Debo's one of those guys Mike Silver's talking about. I'd be really surprised if he's back next year. And it sucks because he's done a lot for the Niners. I don't think you can look at Debo Samuel and be like, we can't wait to get rid of this guy. He's had a lot of big plays for the 49ers. Just it happens. You get older. It sounds like he's frustrated. He didn't really want to talk to the media after the game. He was kind of just giving short answers. So he's frustrated that he's not getting the ball. You know, Kittle mentioned that, like you said, he wasn't getting the ball after the Bills game too. He ended up responding. We'll see how Debo comes back against the Rams. Maybe it'll be a Debo game. Who knows? You know, we're not expecting it to be, but maybe it will be, especially if Garendo doesn't play and they have to go with Patrick Taylor. Maybe Debo is more involved with running and short passes and he can have a bigger game. But it sucks, man. But it sounds like Debo's days are numbered right now.
Yeah. And I mean, that I'll be perfect. perfectly honest, my concern is exactly what you just said, where, again, they called this, you know, they called this past Sunday's game George Kittle's squeaky wheel game. And now it sounds like Deebo Samuel is the squeaky wheel. But I'm like, please don't try and force feed Deebo Samuel, because he hasn't shown Kittle had a right to be a squeaky, because he's been nothing but successful when targeted this season. Deebo Samuel hasn't. So you just hope that that is not the case, that again, he, you know, he's the squeaky wheel, and Kyle Shanahan goes, okay, well, we'll make this a Deebo Samuel game, because I don't know what that would look like. It's a short week. You know, they're playing a Rams team that knows a lot about Deebo Samuel and what Kyle Shanahan wants to do with him. Doesn't necessarily content with a game plan that centers around Juwan Jennings and George Kittle, and then whoever can run the ball. Maybe it's Israel Abanaconda, who you know, they claimed off the Jets. But hopefully, you know, Garendo said something after the game about how, you know, him leaving the game was more precautionary than anything. So hopefully that is the case, and he's able to go on Thursday, because he did look good, and even look good as a receiver as well, which was a well sight.
I'll say this about Deebo too. When you look at some of the, I mean, I don't want to say antics, I'm not sure the word I want to use for him, but he is a team captain. You have the incident with him and Tabor Pepper on the sidelines. Again, heated things happen. Like I said a million times, I didn't think it was a huge deal, but it did happen. He is a captain. And now when Kittle mentioned about not getting the ball, he was asked in a press conference. Deebo comes to social media and says it. I don't love that personally. Like, as a team captain, I don't love that you're taking to social media and saying things like that, especially after a big team win, when maybe you can get things going again. Would hope that that's something that's, maybe he did say it, you know, but maybe he did say it to Kyle Shanahan behind closed doors. So what do I know? Maybe he did have that conversation with him or whoever within the 49ers, but to come out on social media, I didn't love it. Like, again, if you're a team captain, I feel like you have to carry yourself a certain way. I would imagine the 49ers don't love it that he's on social media saying, you know, I'm just not getting the ball. So I feel like, again, barring just a great next four games and maybe they get in the playoffs and he carries the team or something, it just looks like they're headed for a divorce here. The Deebo Samuel, it's been 6 years, you know, we appreciate what you've done type thing, but just the writing's on the wall for him. He hasn't been the same player. There's been, you know, there's starting to be some stuff here. Him, you know, he had some antics. Ayuk had antics in the offseason. Maybe it's a wide receiver thing. I don't know. But I don't love that stuff, especially if you're a captain. Just keep it behind closed doors. If you got to go in Kyle's office and be like, dude, what the hell? Get me the ball. I get it. You're a competitor. You're talking to Purdy or whatever. Don't go to social media and be like, oh, it's not my fault. I'm just not getting the ball. I don't really love that from him. So I don't know.
No, and you make a great point, because, you know, it's coming after a big win that could be a jump start to a possible run in a season that's just been really, really difficult as a team when it comes to outside noise and all of that. You know, you put your best game on film all season, arguably, except maybe, you know, maybe the Jets was a better game. I don't know, but I think this was probably their best game of the season. And then to come out on Victory Monday and be like, hey, I'm just not getting the ball. That sucks. And again, as a captain, I feel like that is less than ideal coming from somebody who is, again, supposed to lead this team. So
yeah,
like you said, you know, it's the NFL, it's business. It is what it is, but at the same time, if the 49ers do have aspirations to make the playoffs, and I think that they do, and aspirations to make noise, an engaged Deebo Samuel and an effective Deebo Samuel will go a long way towards that. So, you know, you just gotta, as a fan, hope that that can happen. And again, they can get going on a run and get a little bit of help. And then again, all you got to do is get in. And once you get in, you never know what will happen.
Yeah, and he's a human being. He's clearly on social media a lot. So he sees the stats. He sees people like me and you and all these other content creators and media people and whatever else saying, oh, Deebo the last four games, he hasn't been good. Deebo, he looks like he's losing it. So you get frustrated. Like, I get that. But at the same point, you know, as a captain, if you got to go and yell at your coach for a while behind closed doors, it's one thing. But, you know, stay off social media, man. They should not let players in social media during the season or something. I can only imagine could you imagine like going on social media after we do our show and it's like people are like, oh, Al Sacco and Brian suck. That show sucked. Did you hear that? It sucked. We would be like, fuck you too. You know what I mean? Yeah, so like,
for sure.
So, you know, you get it, but it comes with the territory. You're getting paid a lot of money. You're a professional athlete. It's what happens. Maybe it's not fair. Maybe it's whatever, but criticism is part of the game. And you know, I guess you just got to handle it a little better, but we'll see. Anyway, it's a huge game this week against the Rams, Brian, coming up, and we'll see what this team can do. If they win Thursday, and I think they will. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to beat the Rams. I think they're going to beat the Dolphins. And I think they're going to beat the Cardinals. Detroit's going to kick their ass. That's my prediction for the rest of the season. But is 9-8 going to get them in? I don't know. But not getting in, they did to themselves. So it's not one of those things where I'm going to say, oh, God, they won 5 of their last 6. I can't believe they didn't make the playoffs. They did this to themselves. So if they don't get in, it's on them. But I feel like there's going to be some positive vibes the last month of the season. They're going to look better. But the end result is still not going to be what we want it to be.
Yeah, agreed. You know, but we also don't know what that Detroit game is going to look like. You know, whether they have to win that game or not, based on, you know, their desire to be the number one seed. Obviously, they are still only one game ahead of the Vikings, who just continue to win. And when it comes to the NFC West, you know, the one thing that you look at and kind of cross your fingers is that Seattle does play Green Bay this Sunday, and then they also play the Vikings in back-to-back games. Both of those are home games, which is nice for them, but those are two teams that I think are better than the Seahawks. You know, if they lose both those games, that's great for the 49ers. It's a long shot, but it is still there for them. But ultimately, it's not going to happen unless they essentially win out. And so, again, it started with the Bears. They got a resounding victory. Now it's on to the Rams.